Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to the show, everyone. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Alon, and next to me is the wonderful game designer, Ara.
Hey, what's going on, Alon?
Not that much. How are you doing this evening?
Pretty good. We also have a very special guest here tonight.
I've heard. Where is he?
We've got Joe Borri.
Hi. Spell Borri for me.
B-O-U-R-R-I-E.
Okay. Now give us your social security number, Joe.
No.
All right.
I have to be able to see the name to remember it, right?
Yeah.
B-O-U-R-R-I-E.
I'm the same way. I need to see the social security number before I remember the guy's name.
Yeah, I was just afraid maybe it was boring and we'd chosen the wrong guest. But
now Joe here is a developer of a game called
Rumblebox.
And
I've played that.
Yes. Now here's the guy responsible.
We talked about it on the show.
There you go.
Oh, really?
I think. Am I thinking of the right game? There's a bunch of different...
I'm not certain.
All right, so there's dudes and they're made up of like geometric shapes.
They're made of the boxes, and
then you beat them up, and they just separate.
They stack up in the arena, and the
you want to get out of the arena.
Top.
Right. That's right.
We talked about that on the show a year ago.
Awesome. You may not be aware of this, but Joe, also his game was a finalist last year at the Slam Dance Independent Video Game Festival.
It had to be successful, otherwise I would have never seen it.
And he's also a judge for this year's Slam Dance competition. Is it fair to call it a competition?
Yes.
Do you get any money for getting up there?
If you win an award, yes. Rumblebox actually ended up winning the student physics award there. So.
All right. So you better got some cash for some development of new stuff, right?
Yes.
You're going to show us your new stuff?
Eventually.
Yeah. Tonight? Tomorrow?
No.
Why not? Come on. You need testers. It's not like you've got a development deal. You can show it to us.
All right. So... You may be wondering...
Stop protecting it, Mara.
Yeah, I've got my own interest to protect here, too.
Okay.
You may be wondering why I'm bringing such a guest on the show.
Me? Not at all. We discussed it before the show.
Now, you know about this. Many of our listeners out there may not know about it.
I understand. Okay.
A lot of them may also know about this.
Why am I here?
But there was a huge controversy at this year's Slam Dance. Now, can you tell us a little bit of what Slam Dance in general is about?
The Slam Dance is a independent games competition for the real independent games, right? The games that aren't really designed at all for commercial value, but instead for artistic or, you know, social, political reasons. And so it's kind of like Sundance used to be, but for games. It's part of a film festival, actually.
Now, what's so interesting about this year's Slam Dance? What happened?
This year's Slam Dance is especially interesting because there was a game called Super Columbine Massacre RPG.
Exclamation point after the RPG.
Got to have that.
That's funny because on the Slam Dance website, they don't have the exclamation point.
They don't. Yeah, they got the name wrong.
They're really hurting the trademark here, I think.
I think so, too.
I wonder if you could trademark that.
Well, I'm sure somebody could.
I don't know.
Could get some lawyers, you know.
Super Columbine Massacre. All right, so keep going. So there's controversy related to this game just because they put it into the festival? Is that what happened?
Because they took it out of the festival.
Because they took it out of the festival is right.
There was a lot of controversy about the game for the last 2 years, but it went into the festival, and, you know, the owner of the festival got cold feet, removed it from the festival, and now people are up in arms a little bit.
Now, before we get into the details of exactly what's going on with Slam Dance, I wanted for us to talk a little bit about, you know, what's this game all about? Because, you know, we've got, you know, the Slam Dance issue is, you know, a huge discussion in its own right. And, you know, I want everyone to know exactly, you know, what are we talking about in this on the show here? I mean, what is this game about?
You can all go take a look at columbinegame.com. And you'll get to see, and I assume you can download the game from the site.
Yeah, you can download the game. There's also a full playthrough on Google Video for those who can't stand the abysmal gameplay.
So wait, you're saying it's actually not a good game?
Gameplay-wise, no, it's absolutely terrible. It was made in an RPG maker, and it was made by a filmmaker that was trying to get kind of a different message out there that only games could do.
So why would he, not him, why would Slam Dance put it in the festival if it's a piece of crap?
Because it's groundbreaking in that it makes a social statement. It makes a statement about what games are, what games could be, on top of making a statement about what causes a person to do something as terrible as the crimes at Columbine.
Let's forget about that part for now. Is the statement he's making that the crappy games can get into a festival dedicated
that might
to
be
good
part
games?
Of it.
No, that. who knows? But I don't.
It sounds
think
to me
that
like he
exactly.
put it in the festival in to begin with, just
actually,
to be sensationalist.
Slam Dance were the ones that originally approached him about putting it into the festival. He wasn't going to do it, and then Sam Roberts, the director of Slam Dance, tracked him down and said, "I like your game. I think you should submit it and see what happens."
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think the people involved in the festival went after it simply to get attention. And now they're getting more attention by taking it away.
It's possible. I know that it was a independent panel of judges, which I was part of, that chose the game to be in the festival after Slam Dance tracked it down.
Now, how many people are on this panel?
I'm actually not entirely sure.
Really? Do you know what it takes to get a game, you know, voted or nominated? Is it a nomination that it got or an actual award?
It was one of the finalists. There's 15 games chosen as finalists. And then last year there was 4 awards given. I don't know how many there are this year.
So it was one of the finalists.
One of the finalists for the awards, right.
So as a judge, you selected this game for something based simply on the message you believe is in there, but not at all on the gameplay of the game.
You know, this is going to sound really odd because...
Coming from a judge.
Coming from a judge who actually rated the game quite poorly.
Okay.
At the time that I played it, and even to now, I hold that it's a pretty crappy game. At the time I played it, I fell into the same trap that other people had, not really seeing the message behind the game, but the content of the game itself. Now... I more understand the game. I still think it's crappy, and I still actually don't think it should have been chosen for the festival. But on top of that, it definitely should not have been kicked out.
Slow down here. It shouldn't have been selected for the festival, yet you of your own accord voted for it?
I did not vote for it.
I thought you just said you voted for it. What did I miss?
No. The judges voted
the
for
judges
it, but he was not
it.
The one of the people voting for
it's,
it.
It is a larger jury than just myself.
No, I thought you were saying that you personally voted for it.
No. I didn't. That's
where the irony was coming into play here.
As much as Joe likes to play dictator.
That would have been odd, and that would have been
very confusion.
Kind of
all right, so forget my side railing that. Okay, so judges chose it, even though you think personally that it's a crappy game in terms of gameplay, but perhaps there's an underlying message which is more important and should be seen by the masses. Is this sort of the message I'm getting from the judges?
That is pretty close to the case.
Okay. And you don't think it's just the guy who runs the festival putting it on to get attention because they've got this controversial game in there?
I don't believe that's the case.
I don't think it's for sheer shock value either. There's this video on, I think, was it Google?
Yeah.
There's a video of a playthrough of the whole thing.
Okay.
So it's about an hour long, and I spent some time before the show, watching it, right? And it's, yes, there's some of it is kind of like this. It has a very, like, satirical tone to it. It's very, like, this dry kind of, like, we're just doing things just to shock you a little bit. But it doesn't, I don't know, it's a whole lot of effort to put into something, I think, just for shock value. So I don't think it's just to shock people with, although there is a little bit of that in it.
I wasn't questioning the developer of the game. I was questioning the festival guy.
Right.
For putting it in. Like, clearly it was created, by some guy who had his own agenda, right?
Right.
That I'm sure had part sensationalism, part message, part,
right.
attention for whatever his next project is.
Right.
Very much.
Right. So that I'm less concerned with, because people make weird stuff all the time. Like that I'm Okay game, which was the Jack Thompson creation, actually, put into play by some guy who wanted to pee on brains, which was fantastic. And the gameplay in that game, not at all bad, by the way.
Huh. Never played it.
My laptop doesn't run it properly, so it's hard to shrinks it down. But anyway, I understand the developer's point of view. Well, I don't know if I understand his point of view, but I can make some assumptions about the developer's point of view. I'm questioning the festival guy. But I guess you said that you want to talk about the game itself, right?
Right.
And what we think about it. So what do you think his the developer's motivation was? First, you.
Well, I don't want to. I mean, I don't make too many assumptions. I can tell you, you know, what my experience was playing or you know watching the playthrough of the game. Now, under normal conditions, you know, I'd be like, you know, hey, you know, don't really evaluate it until not only have you not seen it but actually played it. But since it is an RPG, you know, I think that we can get. I mean, it's straight up Final Fantasy style, you know, turn-based RPG. So I think we can get a pretty good sense of, you know, what the character of the game is like, you know, by watching the video.
Possibly better than if you had played it.
Well, right, because I don't know if I'd have the patience to go through all that, actually.
Exactly.
You know, so I mean, like, technically speaking, the execution of the game, just completely independent of what its subject matter is, right? I mean, it's pretty kind of like slipshod, right? I mean, it's just, it's not very carefully put together. You know, the quality of the art and the assets is, you know, not really that great. I mean, it's just...
I think that was kind of intentional, though. He was kind of going for the 8-bit style.
Yeah.
And right, no.
If he's using RPG Maker, we can't really blame him.
Well, right. But, I mean, the thing is that, you know, it's not like it's a hugely polished experience, especially juxtaposed against what it seems to be the message that he's trying to convey.
Okay.
Which...
So...
Is going to take a lot more,
there?
which is going to take a lot more to explain than I think we have time for this segment.
Given that the music's here, you're right.
Given
so we'll come back right after the break. If anybody does feel like calling, we seem to be talking amongst ourselves for quite a while, but feel free to call in at 866-536-1100. We'll take your call and hear your thoughts on the subject, and we'll be right back to talk about the Super Columbine Massacre RPG.
Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara.
And I'm Alon, reminding you to go to uat.edu, the University of Advancing Technologies website, to learn about how to be a game developer.
And of course, how can we forget about Andrew doing all that awesome stuff back there?
All the wonderful stuff. But what's special about today's show is that we've got Joe Bory.
Bory.
Joe Bory, creator of Rumblebox. And a judge at this year's Slam Dance Festival. Now, are you the judge because you were a finalist last year? Is that the only reason you got to be judge?
I volunteered to be a judge with them.
All right. No, I assume you got a little bit of clout over there.
I'm friends with the director of it that I met at the
That's what it
festival
takes. You
last
be
year.
Friends.
So nepotism all the way, right?
I'm not sure exactly what it was. I think I just volunteered and they needed a judge.
No,
so.
I'm just kidding, of course.
All right. I can understand. Now, right before we went to break, we were starting to sort of talk about the underlying factors involved in the game and the controversy and the fact that everybody has heard of the Columbine Massacre RPG. So I'm going to pose the question to each of you. Let's start with Joe this time. Let's just say, what's, in your opinion, what's the good about this game in all respects?
Well, this game kind of takes games beyond the kind of bubblegum and candy that we're used to, the Marios and the Zeldas out there, which are great games. And,
God of War.
Right. You just need, there are the fun action games that are all, you know, meant to be mainstream. And then this one takes it in kind of a more artistic direction, where they're trying to make a statement, a social statement, and an artistic statement, and to have it removed from the festival is basically saying that Slam Dance is looking for bubblegum and candy and not real social statements, which is opposite to the whole meaning of the festival.
Okay, so you're saying that it was trying to create sort of a social message, is
yes.
What you mean by when you say art.
Right.
But I guess there'd be the argument that it's not necessarily a positive social message.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. In the end, what it's really doing is exploring what would cause somebody to do something as horrible as the Columbine incident. And in the end, it kind of explores what are all of the factors between the media, the music, the video games, and does that have anything at all to do with it? It also brings in religion. It also brings in the way that they were bullied in school and all this stuff, and brings it together and just kind of explores it.
So there's one side of the argument could say that it's educating the masses to try and understand what might bring someone to do something like this, right? it's educating. Someone like me doesn't need a lot of education about being bullied, right, growing up. I've seen that, been there, done that.
Definitely.
The getting bullied part.
Oh, yeah.
But then you could also say there's the negative side where there's, you know, reinforcing that there might be something okay with snapping and killing a bunch of people.
I don't know if it reinforces that message, but I know a lot of people disagree on that and think that it's, you know, somebody might play this game and then want to go out and shoot a bunch of people. But
well,
I don't agree.
It only might even do that insofar as, I mean, the game is essentially a kind of document or reenactment of what happened through the author's eyes, right?
Yeah, so, but I mean, I'm trying to say, like, the Jack Thompsons of the world have more fuel now that this game has been produced, and there's apparently a lot of people in the industry, judging by the two people sitting at the desk here, arguing for the game, or at least for the validity of the game.
Jack Thompson has actually attacked this game before. It's been out for about 2 years, so he's well aware of it.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure of that. And I'm sure I've read about it, although I can't recall at this particular point.
Here's the thing, is that the game is getting attacked not because of, you know, what it's saying or what it's doing, but just because of the subject matter that it incorporates, which is the Columbine.
Simply because it touches Columbine, you mean?
Because it's about Columbine, people are saying that it is necessarily in bad taste.
Right. It uses Columbine pretty much as a vessel to start exploring its real message. And because it's using Columbine, people freak out. Even though it's strange that there's a lot of films out there which do a very similar thing, and they're, you know, the critics love it, bring it into these festivals, everybody's like, this is groundbreaking. Then a game does it, and no, this isn't right.
Do you really think that has something to do with it? You don't think that the guy who made it, who apparently makes movies, is just doing it to get the attention?
He very much could have been, but I don't believe it's accidental how much actual meaning there is in that game. You know, it's... Whether or not he was trying to stir up controversy, he still made a fascinating game.
Okay, so what's the most fascinating
part
of it?
There's a distinction I want to make here, and it's the whole game is rather crude, not just in what I was talking before with the implementation of it, but even in kind of like the conveyance of his message. Because, you know, I mean, a lot of the things that, you know, Joe was talking about, you know, what the game incorporates, like, you know, okay, like the bullying and back, you know, the kids got bullied in school and they hate the world. And I mean, really, this game goes no deeper than it just showing you, like, oh, okay, you know what? You know, these kids were bullied in, like, a locker room or whatever and got beat up or whatever, and now they want to kill the world. And the only thing that you really just see is that there's, you know, a couple of incidents of them being kind of like token representations of being outcasts in childhood, and then they want to kill the whole world. And, you know, that's what they do in their lives, is they kill everything around them, pretty much. And, I mean, that's rather crude, okay? And I don't think there's a lot of depth or meaning to that. However, what I think that there is a lot of depth and meaning to is the way in which, you know, because this is a game, right, what happens is that, you know, unlike any other medium that could possibly express this, you know, you're put into the role of these characters, Eric and Dylan, and you're forced to reenact everything they did. You know, you have no choice. You're just kind of like, you know, you're just kind of like an automaton that's forced to go through all their motions.
Not only that, but the game actually encourages you, strangely enough, to, you know, they only shot, I think it was 17 people or something in the school, which isn't, you know, only, but right. The game encourages you to take out everyone in the school, because if you don't, when you get to hell in the second half of the game, you aren't going to be able to beat anything.
Now,
nearly enough experience.
Now here's the interesting thing, is that, you know, think about this. Here we have a old school style role playing game in the same style that you've played countless Final Fantasies and other games. And in all those games, you know, what you've done is exactly what you're doing in this game mechanically. Except now it's juxtaposed against this new unexpected context, which is the Columbine Massacre. And so, I mean, think about that. How is that different emotionally? You know, I think that is incredibly important.
Clearly has a more powerful message because it's based on real events. But what you were saying before about the real lack of depth.
Not just real events, though. A real event that has been, it's so detestable and so recent that it's pretty much like seething in everybody's mind right now. You know, like World War II is a real event, but we play World War II simulations all day long and we don't even care to think about it.
Yeah, but there's also a clear enemy in World War II. And in this case, you're taking on the angle of the bad guy.
That's part of actually right? What makes it so fascinating is you are taking a very different role.
Yeah, but what I argue about the game, and I got to be honest, like I haven't played this game, and it sounds like you haven't either. You just watched the video, but that's significantly more than I've done too. Unfortunately, I didn't prepare enough tonight for this to go through that, but I can tell from what you're saying here that the character development and the motivation for these characters in the game, and I can't believe I'm even talking about this because it sounds like such a shoddy game. It's very, very undeveloped, and it seems like they focus so much on the violence that I'm almost positive, without playing it, of course, that it's really just sensationalist.
That doesn't have the value that you were describing.
Well,
because of
what I said before, I don't think it's the same sensationalist at all. But
I need to see it for myself to be sure. But if you don't develop the character's motivation for being, you know, a loser and beat up all the time, then. Anyway, we'll talk about it when we come back from the break. We'll be right back, everyone.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
Welcome back to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
My name's Ara.
And with us is Joe Borey. We mentioned before he made the Rumble Box, which was winner of some sort of award at the Slam Dance Festival last year. Is that right?
Yeah, student
physics. Okay. Right. And we commented on this. Nate Big and I, back doing the show about a year ago, I was playing that game, and I liked it. It was a good time. I was excited because it ran properly on my laptop versus half the other games in the Independent Games Festival, which actually wouldn't run very well. Or just the games that I play over time, something's wrong. Anyway, right before we went to break, I was questioning, you had commented on perhaps the artistry of the Super Columbine Massacre, if that's what it's called. Is it Super Columbine Massacre?
Super Columbine Massacre RPG! !
Okay, don't forget that exclamation
point. Like Yahoo. So I was commenting that I have a feeling it was probably more sensationalist and violent simply to be that way and to get attention than perhaps to be artistic. Now, we can all talk about how it brings us into the insight of the two characters who are going on a rampage, I don't think that there's
that much insight per se, but, you know, like I was saying before, what I think the key is that, like, just the mere fact of putting you in that role, right? And there wasn't, just like you were arguing before, there's not a lot of character development, but the thing is, I think that there's so much emotion about these two people already that there doesn't need to be for that vehicle to be effective.
Yeah, like, I think it's got a side effect of being a valid case study of emotional response and people's intensity in playing the game and appreciating perhaps the content. And I think this point probably isn't valid for what we're talking about today, but I don't think it has anything to do with the author's intention with the game. I think it just happened because of the content.
Well, it's actually a fairly common, I think, misconception about the game is that knowing that it's about Columbine and all of this, that it is somehow just there for sensationalism. But what a lot of people don't realize unless they've gone all the way through the game and really kind of understood what it was about is this biting sarcasm that the entire game is written with. And yes, I wouldn't say it necessarily even does its job super well, right? I mean, there could be much better things out there. But it's got this biting sarcasm that the characters are developed based on the media representation of them and not necessarily what those characters would have normally been. The Eric and Dylan really are portrayed the way the media portrayed them, obsessed with Marilyn Manson and KMFDM and video games. You know, the whole world is Doom to them.
I was going to say all they did was play Doom all day, right?
Exactly. And that's the way the media saw them. So that's the way he plays it up in the game. Once again, part of the biting sarcasm that makes up, you know, kind of the parody of the game.
And indeed, you know, halfway through the game, you end up going to hell as these characters, and it looks exactly like the game Doom.
And later in hell, you actually end up meeting the other people who went to hell, everything from, you know, Mario to Nietzsche to JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, sure. I was...
And all the people they shot at school?
No.
No.
You don't meet
them. Actually, I did question the kind of the purpose of this when he started to put in like Mega Man and like a Moogle and like who else was there?
I think a lot of that was done more for humorous purposes than anything. But there's pretty strange stuff, and there was Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden.
There you go.
Anything you can grab a sprite of, basically, you could throw
pretty much.
My main criticism of this game is that, you know, it's the whole thing is not very precisely focused. Mm. So you have like a lot of these distractions, like, oh, you know, like what's Mario doing here in hell? I mean, come on.
That was a huge part of my criticism when I originally judged the game, was that it has this message that it's trying to get across, and it does a good job in some spots, but in some spots it falls apart.
It's so short in content, and you have all of these, you know, while, okay, I mean, I guess it's kind of funny, but all of these unnecessary deviations, you know, like Nietzsche will give you devil's food cake and you deliver it to the devil. I mean, there's no meaningful content in that.
No, well, exactly. That's there for humor.
He didn't have a round table of game designers. Like when you're sitting around working on a game, Ara, like, you've got actual professionals. And the thing is...
No. That's a disaster, by the way. Never do that.
But what my point is that, you know, anybody can make a product. And I think YouTube is a fine example of this. Anyone can make content. Making good content is what separates the person who's in their basement not making any money from the people who are actually working
for it. And, you know, we're criticizing the quality of this content.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. and so we really need to stop doing that if we even want to bother talking about it, because it's clear this is one guy in his basement, you know.
As I've said, it's a pretty bad game. It's what Slam Dance has done is worse than what the game has done, but it's a pretty bad game.
And so now's the time to transition into that.
Yes, I agree. And I've got a timeline of the events that unfolded.
Okay, now, first let me summarize here and we'll go into the detail of
it. Go for it.
All right, for those who aren't aware, Slam Dance, we talked about it. It's a festival, an awards thing for games, right? And so basically, Slam Dance said, hey, Super Columbine guy, we want to put your game in. And then said, hey, no, we don't want to put your game in because people are going to stop paying us if we do that. So tell me a little bit more about that in detail.
All right, well, what was the date that the game actually got pulled from the competition? Was that on January the 6th?
It was a Friday before last.
Okay, so whatever that day was, anyway, what happens is on January the 6th, one of the other finalists, there's a game called Braid made by Jonathan Blow. He withdraws his game from the competition.
So that's the day after Friday. That's Saturday.
Now, on the 8th, 2 days later, Kelly Santiago announced that Flow, another one of the games in the competition, is also going to be withdrawn.
A game which has gotten a lot of press and was supposed to be on the PlayStation 3 as downloadable content and is mysteriously still not available.
Yeah, it's designed by Jenova Chen, the same guy that got Cloud in Slam Dance last year. Very
Cloud.
Cool game.
Yeah, also developed by some people who do Insert Credit, or one of the guys from Insert Credit was involved in Cloud.
Right. Vincent Diamante.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He ended up winning the Rumblebox High Score Tournament last year at Slam Dance.
Yeah,
yes.
Vincent's a great guy.
Now, on that same day, a site called Grumpy Gamer called on all the finalists to withdraw and offered a Grumpy Gamer Games or Art Award.
That was a bit unfair. That was some undue pressure on the other finalists.
It's a little extreme, but nevertheless.
He is a grumpy gamer, after all.
As Ron Gilbert, he's a grumpy gamer.
Okay. On the next day, January 9th now, the Sundance finalist Everyday Shooter withdraws their entry from the competition.
How many finalists are at this festival?
There's 15.
Sounds like everybody's dropping.
15, they've lost 6.
Oh, this is pretty easy to win.
This is good. Now,
do you have a game in this year's festival, Joe?
What's that?
Do you have a game in this year's festival?
No, I don't.
No.
That would be kind of conflict of interest.
Since he's a judge and all.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny. All right, on that same day again, the finalist Toblo withdrew from the competition.
Remind me, which day are we on?
January 9th.
Wow, so this is all in a span of 4 days.
And as well, there's another Sundance finalist, Once Upon a Time, who also withdraws on that day.
Okay.
Now, after all this, USC Interactive Media, who is one of their major sponsors of the contest.
This is the juicy part.
Which had, I don't know how much money they put into this, but they're a major source of funding, aren't they?
Right. They were actually, Flow was from there, by the way.
They have also announced that they withdrew their sponsorship of the Slam Dance Guerrilla Game Competition.
Because the game was removed.
That's right.
Exactly.
So which company was it that inspired the removal to begin with?
Slam Dance.
No. An advertiser went to Slam Dance and said, hey, we don't want this game here.
There's more games that have been withdrawn, though.
No, but that's not important. And you just said that the Flow game was brought forth by one of the sponsors? Now, that's a conflict of interest.
Well, no. DigiPen is also a sponsor, and Toblo and one of them, Barnyard something or other, is also there from DigiPen, and they're a sponsor.
Okay.
But... Kotaku originally said it was the sponsors that had pressured to have it removed. Since then, they've...
All of my news comes from Joystick and Kotaku. Yeah. I have no other outlet.
There's a lot of intrigue in this.
Yes, they have altered their statement quite a few times since then.
Before we get into that, I just want to
finish Kotaku,
this list.
It's just a bunch of heathens. I don't respect them at all. Don't like them.
All right, so also on January the 9th, the Sundance finalist Book and Volume withdraws from the competition. And finally, on the 10th of January, the finalist, Jason Rohrer, with his game Cultivation, he posts an open letter to the other finalists encouraging them to remain or to rejoin in the festival. Yes.
Cultivation is actually a very excellent game. And he made a good point when he said that. He was saying that why, when you withdraw, all you're doing is kind of taking a stand backwards as opposed to getting in there and taking a stand at the festival.
Now, I'm all for chaos. So I think that this is really cool that everyone is withdrawing from the competition like this.
And going back and then pulling money and putting money. And I have no idea what you just said over the last 5 minutes.
All right. So the back to, the reasons why they did. First, they said, right, Kotaku said it was the sponsors. And they had apparently got that information directly from Peter Baxter, the guy that runs Slam Dance. Since then, he had put up a statement on the website that basically said part of it was there are moral obligations to consider with this particular game. Ultimately, it was my decision to pull the game, and I hope that a choice like it will never be made again.
So can we take a moment to remember here that you said he was the one who originally asked the guy to bring it into the festival?
He was not. Sam Roberts, the director of Slam Dance, was the one that originally asked.
So is there a breakdown in communication between the director and this other guy?
It's very possible. But then, on top of that...
Are they married, these two?
I don't believe so.
No? Okay.
A couple days ago, they put out a third statement and actually revised the statement on SlamDance.com to now reflect their new changed statement, saying, given the legal advice I've received about the Super Columbine Massacre role-playing game... They do not have the resources to defend any civil action that can easily arise from showing the game. From an extremely well-known Nirvana song, the game maker has no current right to use.
So they're saying it is a
copyright issue, which is three different stories from the same guy.
That's awesome. I'm loving this. It's getting thicker and thicker.
Oh, it gets thicker.
Andrew, take us out. We'll be right back after the break, everyone.
What's the use? I said, it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Welcome back to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Man, it's getting so hot in here that, much to my dismay, Alan is starting to take off his clothes.
I am very hot.
Please stop.
Take it easy.
Thank you very much, Ara.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
He is the game designer co-host here on the show. My name is Alan, and... I'm his co-host.
That's right. From time to time.
Every once in a while, I join you. And before we move on, I got to remind everybody to go to uat.edu. That's the website for the University of Advancing Technology. I went to school there, and Ara didn't. So we've got a little bit of a battle.
And actually, Joe went to DigiPen. Our guest Joe here.
Joe did go to DigiPen because the Rumble Box came from there. I was thinking about that last segment. So we're going to move on. This is our final segment. We're going to talk about, well, we're not really moving on. We're going to continue. But what we were talking about last segment, about the strange depth of the controversy involved with the Slam Dance and the removal of the Super Columbine Massacre game from the festival. So we got to, on the 5th, it was yanked. First of all, they begged him to bring it in. Then the very same people who begged him, basically, not the same guy, but people from the same place, said, all right, now we're not going to have it in the festival. And then some,
after it became a finalist, mind you.
Yeah, after it became a finalist. So they said, hey, why don't you be part of the festival? And they said, hey, this is really great. We're so glad you're part of the festival. And they said, okay, now you can't be part of it anymore. And then somebody else who has a game, one of the finalists, they pulled their game, and then somebody else pulled their game, and then somebody else pulled their game, and then somebody else pulled their game. You know, give me another second here. Someone else pulled their game, and then someone else pulled their game.
That's
so now
right.
There's only 9 left out of the 15 finalists.
Eight.
No, right, because
Columbine was one of them.
Six pulled and Columbine, total of 7.
Right.
So, great. Out of 15, there are now 8 left. And then a sponsor yanks their money out of it.
USC Interactive Media Division.
That sounds like a big sponsor.
Big time sponsor.
You guys hear how often we mention UAT. Imagine USC doing the Slam Dance Festival. All right, so a lot of money gets yanked. And then they put on 3 separate messages over time on their website at the slamdance.com website to explain why the Super Columbine Massacre exclamation point was pulled from the festival. Do I have it all right so far?
Sounds like it.
Okay, good. So take me deeper, Joe.
Take you deeper. All right. So deeper, Sam Roberts, the man who actually was the one that went after the game to begin with, right?
Sam Roberts, everybody.
The director of the festival publicly spoke out against the decision.
The decision to remove it.
Exactly, saying this is not what we're supposed to be doing. This is the very opposite of it.
So he knows what's going on.
He knows what's going on.
So who's the guy who actually pulled it again? Baxter.
Peter Baxter, the founder of Slam Dance.
Maybe he doesn't know what's going on.
The founder pulls it, but the director wants it there.
Right. The director was the one that actually tracked it down in the first place.
I would suspect that the director has a lot more power than the founder. The founder's just the guy who started it, but the director's the one running it.
You would think so.
All right.
All right.
All right, so let's move on.
All right. So basically they have made, you know, the 3 different they've given 3 different excuses, basically. First it was the sponsors.
Wildly different excuses?
It was first the sponsors, then it was a personal decision of Peter Baxter's, then they edited their official statement to say it would involve copyrighted material, and they couldn't handle the lawsuits that could come from having copyrighted material such as sprites from Doom, such as MIDIs of popular music from Nirvana and KMFDM and all the bands that they listened to.
Now, I think that is a BS excuse. I don't think that's a real reason.
Let me read the website here before you go into this, Ara. This is not a case of Slam Dance lacking courage, sponsor disapproval of showing Danny's game, or wanting to control freedom of expression. Simply and practically, Slam Dance can't afford to take on the scope of this potential loss by showing the game to the public. It's already been shown to the public, by the way.
Columbinegame.com.
Well, here's the thing. Here's why this reason is just a non-reason, is because all of this copyrighted material that they're using it under fair use. They're taking something, a likeness, the material that's been used in other contexts, and they're making an artistic expression out of this. This has been done time and time again in real artwork.
I'd like to point out it's a free game.
And yep. Okay, and they're not making any money off it.
He totally could be making money off the game.
And in
though.
Fact, I mean, there were even video game related litigation that has shown that it's okay to take the likeness of something, and if you present something substantially new about it, that, you know, that is protected and is considered, you know, First Amendment expression or whatever.
Now, I've had enough experience with law, though.
Okay, Mr. Lawyer, well, what's your take?
The issue here may not be whether or not they would win the lawsuit, is that they would have to fight the lawsuit. And that would be a loss to them.
Now, why would the festival have to fight anything?
Because they would be the ones who would be publicly displaying this content, which some people may deem inappropriate or copyright-ridden or whatever, and so they would be taken to court, and then they would be silly to defend themselves by themselves, and we need to get a lawyer for it. And then they would pay for it. And it's not exactly easy to countersue and get your legal fees paid for. So it's a huge battle, plus they'd have to pay up front. So there's definitely loss and aggravation that go along with it. So you can't really disclaim that they would be placed in a bad situation.
Right.
Well, okay, that's a pretty good point. But why didn't they say that the first time?
Well, that's
because
actually
giant
what I...
pussies.
that's actually what I'd like to bring up is that
and we have 2 minutes to do it.
All right. Well, while that is a respectable excuse, that is the third excuse, and it took them a week to get that out. And what it appears that they are doing is continually revising and refining their excuse, each one getting more reasonable than the one before it, until finally they have something that people will go ahead and accept. But by doing that, they're showing he didn't have a real reason to begin with. He's got to come up with one after the fact because he was against the game and he wanted to pull it. That's what it appears to be from the outside, is he was offended by the game. He was worried that it might cause controversy, and so he pulled it from the festival.
Is he religious?
I don't know.
We should find out.
We should have him on the show.
I'm not kidding. I think that's a very serious potentially serious component to this.
It could be, because this is the person who is making the decisions as to what independent gamers can show at the future festivals. It could be important.
Yeah, I think it would be very valid, and if anybody knows, let us know, or just pretend, and I'll make it sound like you're someone who knows what you're talking about. So I'm curious, though, you think Slam Dance is going to happen next year?
I don't think this is going to kill the festival. I actually am.
You don't think like a giant rift between the two most important people involved would kill the festival?
I'm not certain what's going on between Sam and Peter right now, but I actually myself will continue to support the festival. I think it's a very good a good way to get independent games out there. Actually, Manifesto Games also. They're a sponsor of the festival. They're completely against the choice, but they choose to continue to support it because in the end, it's still a great festival. I think what will happen here is people are going to start to worry about what kind of games they can make. It may have some sort of a chilling effect on independent games in general, because can you get them noticed at the Slam Dance Festival?
Well, here's my one desire, that they don't make crappy games and become finalists, as we discussed earlier in the show.
Very true. It would be nice to see a game that can be both intellectually stimulating and fun to play. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, and if it was a game about getting bullied. And actually, there was a game this past year that did very well, apparently, all about bullying. Anyway, unfortunately, this is the end of the show for us, everyone. So I want to thank you, Joe Borey, maker of the Rumble Box. Is there anything you want to pimp out now? You don't want to talk about your new game, apparently. So.
Well, actually, I'd like to thank Ian Bogost from watercoolergames.org.
Yes, I totally cribbed off his website.
Right. He promoted the show, and he put up my judge's statement, and he's just been very cool about all of this.
All right. Well, thank you to him. And also thank you, Ara, and thank Andrew for on the show. We will be back next week, everyone. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about us.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.